The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Seated where you are, so that we can get straight to the word. Okay, this morning, our title, what we've been doing so far. I've been getting blessed. I've been trying to follow the service before we got here. I know God has been good. Amen. What I'm going to do is, I'll ask you guys to tell me, once we hit 1 hour, just give me a sign. Get the point. In fact, 50 minutes. Once we hit 50 minutes, you give me a sign. Yes, so I will know. Amen. Some people are standing. On the certain platform. Wow. Okay, go get him more seats. Okay, fine. Amen. Sorry for standing. Let's go. So our Zoe plan has failed, right? In this place. Okay, bless God. So I'll tell you what we've been doing. We are studying the facts of Christ's death and resurrection, and we are focusing on the Old Testament. Let's look at that scripture again. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. How has this meeting been? Powerful, right? I am feeling the power of yes, hallelujah. Amen. Maybe before I start, let me read out just about one or two testimonies that people have sent. I'll read one that was sent by someone here, and I will read one that was sent by someone following the service that is not here. I know it's still following now, someone that is in, not even in our country, okay? So I read this. This came in this morning. This is from somewhere, someone here. He said, good morning, sir. Thank you, sir, for being a gift to us and the body of Christ. Man is truly God's method, like you always say. So 2019 changed me and launched me forwards. Raised the fact imparted me and equipped me for new levels. I knew it and I know it even now that I have been changed into a new man. I had a leading on Friday. Okay, let me leave that part. I've been working and praying towards partnership with a particular company, but they told me they cannot afford my fee. Then just before Raise the Fact, I was in the bus coming to church. I checked my phone. A young man I've never chatted with before told me they want to partner with them and they will pay me $300 every month with other benefits. I was short of words. I've never applied for this. All I have to do is do what I've been doing, teach people and get them involved. God is really good. The goodness of God runs after me. My testimonies have started. Another platform just sent me an email yesterday. They paid me what they have been owing me and they want to discuss terms for future deals with me. Hallelujah. Bless God. These are just physical testimonies. Many other, let me just, this one came from someone that was not here. He said, thank you, Papa, for today. Okay, it's like my tongue can't stop moving. So during the laying on of hands, in my heart, I was like, okay, so I won't partake in this because I had less than 3 hours to go back to work after coming back this morning and I haven't slept. So immediately the meeting was over. I said a prayer that I need my own hand laying, and then I slept. That same minute, I felt afloat, like I was still curled up in bed, but I was flowing and my environment was the church, and I couldn't just stop speaking in tongues. This meeting is for me. I never anticipated it to be this way, but it keeps me awake. It excites me to know that I'm at a place of rest. Every word spoken from all the pastors and you and the tongue ministrations hits me in different ways. Visions are getting clearer by the day. There is no reason not to be in Christ. Raise the fact is for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it's amazing to know that people are getting blessed. People that are here, people that are not here. Hallelujah. And so many other testimonies on my mail. my message, my WhatsApp and all that. And I know you have yours too, right? I've gotten so much, so much. God has been so good this weekend. Amen. Some of you flowed better in spiritual things. Somebody was telling me yesterday, while the ministration was going on, I think it was in the morning or so, he got not just the leading to do an album, but the whole title of the album came in the place of prayer. A lot of things happened there yesterday. I didn't get the point. So it's a spiritual meeting. You can expect anything. And this one will not be different. Amen. I said in 15 minutes, yeah? Okay. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Okay, let's look at the screen. Let's know man. Let's work with a New Living Translation that we've been working with all the while. So don't let anyone condemn you. This sound changed. Don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or for not celebrating. Are all the speakers working? For not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. But these rules are only what? Shadows of the reality yet to come. Christ himself is that reality. He's telling us that all the things that were celebrating in the Old Testament were what? Shadows. They were not the real thing. They were not the real thing. They were all shadows of the reality yet to come. They were all pointing towards something. That reality they were pointing towards is who? Christ. So Christ is the reality of everything. So what you call Sabbath, what you call Passover, like we've explained throughout this weekend, right? What you call burnt offering. All of them we are pointing, we are done in anticipation. So they were not done to remember what has happened. They were done, I think it's coming back. They were done to point towards something that was to come. Hallelujah. And so that's the premise on which we've been teaching since this meeting started. Now, what I want you to see from this weekend as I round up today is that the message of the Bible, if I can give a summary of everything the Bible teaches, it is the resurrection of Christ. Everything. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, and Paul told Timothy, he said, and you have been taught, okay, just go back to King James, we'll come to NLT later. He said, and from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee what? Wise unto salvation. So what does the Bible, what does the scriptures communicate when you study it fully? It makes you wise unto salvation. So the central message of the Bible is salvation found in Christ Jesus, made possible by Christ's death and resurrection. So any day you study the Bible, what the Bible teaches is that Christ died and rose again and brought salvation. That is the message of the Bible. Everything you see there might just be, you can use the Bible to play or to misbehave. But the central message from Genesis chapter 1 to the end, they were trying to communicate one thing in different ways. In patterns, in types, in stories, in prophecies, in examples, in drama. All they were trying to communicate one thing. The death of Christ, his resurrection, and the salvation that will come as a result of that. And that's the message of the Bible. That is the message that the Old Testament preached. Let's look at 1 Peter 1 verse 10. We looked at it. Let's read it again. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, of which salvation the prophets, okay, look with NLT. He said, this salvation, the prophets, when he's talking about the prophets, he was referring to the guys in the Old Testament. He said, this salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this glorious or this gracious salvation prepared for you. So the prophecies of the Old Testament guys, what was it about? Salvation prepared for us. So you can read their prophecy, you can read Psalms. Some use Psalms to kill their enemies, some use Psalms to do many things. But if you study Psalm, study Isaiah, how it should be studied, you will know that what they were prophesying about was salvation. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, they wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. So what the Spirit of God was telling them was about the suffering of Christ. So they rendered it in different ways. I'm going to show you this one. I've been showing you all the while. But in different ways, they were trying to communicate one thing. Christ's suffering and the glory that will follow. So verse 12 now around to Toby says, they were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. So everything they were preaching was for you. Get the point? So they were prophesying. They were prophesying. So right from Genesis, let me give an example with Genesis. I'll just use three examples, and then I instruct you, charge you up, and then you go. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, let me start from there. Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heavens. Is that a phone ringing? Okay. In the beginning, God created what? The heavens and... Okay. When? When? Okay. Go back to King James, please. In the beginning. It's not in the beginning. I mean, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Okay, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 4. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided that from the darkness. So what did God create? Which light? You notice later, God later created sun. Did you observe it? Later created moon. Hello? Did you observe it? Later created stars. But he already talked about that he started with creating light. Now, did this happen? This happened. But I will show you what this means. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Because if you check this Genesis 1, get to verse 14 down, you start seeing where God created sun, created moon, created stars, the greater light to light up the day, that sun, the lesser light to light up the night, that's the moon, and made other lights, that is stars. Now, if God made sun, moon, and stars as sources of light on earth, what does the Bible now mean that God created light? Are you what I'm talking about? Are you following? He said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the image of God, should shine on them. Verse 5. For we preach unto ourselves, for Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Where did God command light shine out of darkness? Genesis 1, right? Now, Paul picks that scenario and now says that same God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So he refers to what God did in Genesis and compares it with what he does in salvation. Did you observe that? He uses that word God did in Genesis, let there be light, and says that same way that God commanded light to shine out of darkness, what he was actually showing was how God will command light, the light, which light now here? The light of knowledge of Christ, of the glorious gospel of Christ. He will command light to shine in our hearts. So whatever happened in Genesis was used to illustrate what God will do in salvation. Did you observe that? Look at it again. For God who commanded the light. Put up like NLT. He commanded the light in Genesis to shine out of darkness. For God who said, let there be light in darkness. Where did God say this? Genesis 1, right? Has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God. So when God was saying, let there be light, and there was light, he was actually showing what will happen in you. Are you still here? That same God who commanded light, what in reality what he did was to command. So notice the Bible said there was darkness on the earth. What darkness was that? Go to verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the hearts of men, right? That's the darkness that Genesis 1 referred to. Are you what I'm talking about? The darkness Genesis 1 referred to was unbelief. Use darkness to illustrate unbelief. So there was darkness on the earth, And then God said, let there be light. The gods of this age now blinded the hearts of men. And God now commanded light to shine out of darkness. So what happened in Genesis 1 was pointing to what will happen in salvation that has happened in you. How did we come to that conclusion? The epistles help us. Because the epistles are the explanations of the Old Testament. I've told you that before, right? So the same God who commanded light shine out of darkness did the same thing he did in Genesis 1. But this time, what he just did was to show what he will really, really do in the hearts of men. He commanded light to shine out of darkness. Right now, he has commanded light to shine out of another darkness. Which darkness now? Darkness in the hearts of men. Which light now? Huh? The light of the gospel. Are you still here? And so, of course, the Bible tells us that in verse 4, God separated the light from the darkness. Same thing he did in salvation. After he caused light to shine in our hearts, he divided the light from the darkness. You say, so what does that mean? Don't you realize that? Bible says, he separated light from darkness. Don't you realize that when you came into Christ, you now became light? Ephesians 5 verse 8 tells us, he says, you are sometime darkness. He said, but now are ye light. So that light that God commanded to shine out of darkness was the light of the glorious gospel that he shined in our hearts. Are you getting the point? And that light now made us light. So he now divided the light from darkness. So he separated us from the world. So 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 5 was right when he called us children of light. You get the point? Children of light. Say, you are all the children of light. And the children of, what did God call the light he made in Genesis 1? Huh? He called the light day. He called the darkness night. Ephesians, Thessalonians tells us now that you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. I get the point. So when God was saying, let light come out of darkness, he was explaining what will happen in your heart in salvation. When that happened, you became light. You became a child of the day. I get the point. So stop the night, John. You're not a child of the night. Well, that's not what I was saying. I was just... But I get the gist at all. So God commanded light to shine out of darkness. That same God has shined in our hearts the light of the glorious gospel in the face of Jesus. And that made us children of the day. Say, I'm light. Come on, say, I'm light. So we are lights. We are lights. So Genesis 1:1-5 was simply explaining salvation in Christ in the terms that Moses was going to use to explain it. Are you still here? It was explaining salvation in Christ in Moses' terms. So when you study the Bible in the way it should be studied, what you will see scattered all over the place. That's why we started with that scripture that first day in Luke 24. And beginning at Moses, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus started from Moses. What does Moses mean? Started from Genesis to explain to them the things concerning himself. That's Luke 24. So Jesus opened Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 down to all the prophets. That's down to Malachi. And what he was showing one by one was himself. And so when I study the Old Testament, what should I be seeing? Jesus. So the message of the Bible is not far, it's not hard. Go to verse 25, 26, and 27. Sorry, 27 particularly. That's Luke 24. And beginning at Moses, he and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So when I open Joel, I should see Jesus. When I open Malachi, he is there. The facts of his death and resurrection is there. When I open Genesis, he is the central message of the Bible. His death and resurrection is the central message of even the Old Testament. And so Moses just explained that someday is going to come,
the light of the gospel. So Paul just refers to that thing Moses said and now brought it to light. That same God who said, let there be light, has done the same thing in our hearts, the real thing in our hearts. He has commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That same thing, you find it in Genesis chapter 3, the same example, the same truth about Jesus. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, after man ate the apple, the cucumber that he ate, what did man eat again? He ate cold stone. He ate something. What did he eat? Be serious for once, please. What did man eat? Hallelujah. Ujuru. Well, after man ate that thing, the obono soup, and I said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. God was talking. And between thy seed and her seed, he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Do you know this was about Jesus? He said, the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman was not, I normally joke with this. When Satan heard this, he said, so the seed of the woman. So Cain came, he went after Cain, went after Abel. They were not the seed. Very foolish Satan. Very foolish Satan. Went after Cain. Cain now possessed Cain. Cain now killed Abel. And I said, let's see. Seth now came. So who is the seed of the woman? That seed that will bruise his head was not, you remember Galatians 3 verse 16. God spoke to Abraham about his seed. Do you remember yesterday? Look at it. And Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is. So Christ is the seed. When you see the seed in Genesis, he's referring to Christ. It's not money. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not money. It's Christ. And so he said, I will put enmity between the woman, thy seed, and her seed. He said, the seed of that woman. So in Genesis 3, God already prophesied the coming of Jesus. How he will bruise the head of the serpent. When did he bruise the head of the serpent? Psalm 110, verse 1. And the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Thy footstool. So when Jesus sat at the right hand of God, when did he sit? At resurrection, right? When he rose from the dead and sat at God's right hand, God made the enemy his footstool. At that point, he bruised the head of the serpent. So what was prophesied in Genesis 3 was fulfilled in John, in Matthew. So he sat there and bruised the head of the serpent. And Paul, Peter, we use that to explain salvation to us. Like Acts 2 verse 31, when they were asking him to defend the fact that they were speaking in tongues, he said, he's seen this before, talking about David, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did. Where did this come from? Look at that Psalm. It's in Psalm. That his soul, he will not allow my soul to stay in hell, or neither will he allow his holy one to see corruption. That's Psalm. Okay, let me get it. Let me get it from my note. Acts. That's Acts 31, right? Psalm 16, verse beginning. 16, verse 10. Okay, now I want to just show you something. He said, "Thou for that." Who was saying this? This was David. Now, if you read this naturally, you would think David was prophesying about, was talking about himself. I didn't get the point. Thou will not leave my soul in hell. David was talking in the first person pronoun. Thou will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. This was what David was just saying. Now, Peter now quotes it in that Acts 2:31. Go back to Acts 2:31. And now said that David was not talking about himself. He's seen before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. I don't get the point. So that thing David was saying in Psalm was not word of faith. He was not speaking about himself. He was speaking by prophecy. I don't get the point. So that thing was about God. Let's continue. Verse 32. He said, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Now verse 35. Until I made the lips as priest to. Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified. But Lord, so the Lord that was the seat at the right hand, that we made the footstool, made his footstool, was not, I didn't get the point, was not David. That was he, his father in the Lord. It was Christ. So that thing David said in Psalm 10, the Lord said to my Lord, sat at my right hand. He was talking, he was just talking. But that was a prophecy about Christ. I didn't get the point. But about Christ. Now, take it back to Genesis 3 verse 15. The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. So, what God was trying to say there in that simple statement that confused Satan till today is that through this woman, from her lineage, a seed is going to come. That seed will be killed. That seed will rise and sit at the right, at my right hand. And when he sits there, he will bruise your head. He will subdue you. He will take all your authority. It's going to happen. And it has happened. So it was the resurrection being preached in Genesis chapter 3. I say here, I could go on and on. I could go on and on to show you. I showed you yesterday of Abraham in Genesis 15, when the Lord said, count the stars. Remember, count the stars, see if you can number them. He said, as not much as these stars are, he said, so shall thy seed be. Galatians 3 now tells us that that seed is not Isaac. That seed is not people of Israel. That seed is Christ. So God said to Abraham, count the stars. As many as the stars are, so shall Christ be. What does that mean? That Christ will die and rise again and multiply himself into many sons. So today there are many Christs. That was what God preached to Abraham in Genesis 15. Are you still here this morning? So you find out when you begin to study the Bible, you will be seeing the facts of Christ. I could go on and on to show you. I could go on. For instance, when it was time for Isaac to be sacrificed and all that, they took Isaac, Abraham took Isaac and took him to where they were going to crucify or sacrifice him or crucify him. And while he was lying down there, the Lord said to him, do not touch the boy. Look, I have provided a lamb. So it was a drama of redemption. When they will carry you, you deserve to die, for the wages of sin is death. Carry you, place you, as they're about to slay you, say, don't touch him. Look, there is a lamb. So Abraham called him Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that will provide a lamb. It was redemption being played out. So it was drama. It was drama. But it was all pointing towards what will happen in these days. That has happened in these days. Hallelujah. So the truth of the Old Testament, the message of the Old Testament is about salvation in Christ Jesus. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, maybe I'll just say that and I'll stop with the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, he said, unto us a child is born. He said, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Who was talking about here? About Christ. A child is born. A son is given. You see the way these guys prophesy? They prophesy even without understanding what they're saying. They can bring 30 generations and put it in one sentence. A child is born is the incarnation. A son is given is the resurrection. In one sentence. I don't get the point. So they just model everything up. A child is born, a son is given. Can imagine, say, child is born, son is given. What's that one? So you find that when Jesus rose, he was called the Son of God. at resurrection. He said, this day have I begotten you. Thou art my son, this day. So a child was born. Mary gave birth to a child. God gave his son. I don't get the point. But then, this was all trying to paint a picture. I could take you through the whole Old Testament. Now, I'm not saying that every single verse in the Old Testament is about Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. I get to the point. Before you now say, Methuselah is a picture of Christ. Jezebel is a picture of Christ. It's not true. Delilah is not a picture of Christ, though. Athaliah. You know Athaliah in the Bible? It's not a picture. She's not a picture of Christ. Please, I'm not saying that. I say Baal is a representation of Christ. Baal. Exegesis has gone wrong. Please, know yourself well. But I'm saying it's easy to know these things. I'll tell you how to do it. Start from what the New Testament says about those scriptures. For instance, Jesus gave some commentary about some things. For instance, he used Jonah. He said, just as Jonah slept 3 days in the belly of the fish. Do you remember that? He said, that same way, the Son of Man. So that picture of Jonah was still about him. For instance, Paul used Eve. Paul used Eve. He said, as Ephesians 5, he said that for this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. And towards the end of the chapter, he said, I show you a great mystery. I am speaking about Christ and the church. So Paul used Adam and Eve to explain Christ and the church. How do you get the point? It's very easy. And I explained that to you as a way, right? The same way Adam came and slept and they opened his side and brought out Eve. Jesus slept or died on the cross and you became the product of that sleep. Christ and the church. I didn't get the point. And so, rightly, Adam, Eve was called the bride of Adam. We are called the bride of Christ. How? We came out of him. The same way Eve came out of him. I don't see the point. So if you begin to study the Bible, it will be so clear to you that a central message is resurrection that brought salvation to us. If you get down, let me just skip something. If you get down straight to the epistle, you see the same thing. The message Paul preached in 1 Corinthians 15, you know, Paul began to describe the message he preached. He said, 15 from verse 1. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. So Paul is about to tell us to summarize the gospel he has been preaching. The gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. He was trying to give a summary of his message. Verse 2, but by which also you are saved. So it is this gospel that's how they were saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now verse 3, for I delivered, he began to share what he showed the gospel. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to... So Paul's message was simple. Christ died for our sins. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This is the summary of everything Paul preached. And notice he said according to the scriptures. Which scriptures again? The Old Testament writings. So where did Paul get the facts that Jesus died and rose again? He got them from reading the Old Testament. Did you observe that Paul never saw Jesus? For once. I don't get the point. But by studying the scriptures, he saw that Christ died and that Christ rose again. And that's the message. And I want to send you home with this. This is the same message that we preach. This is the same message that you must preach to the unsaved man. Romans chapter 1 verse 17. For I am not ashamed, verse 16 rather, of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. What this means is this. Any other thing you preach to anybody that is not the gospel does not have the capacity to change that person. Let me say it another way. If you call a person and begin to say, do you know that heaven is real? Do you know that hell is real? Do you know that if you die now, you go to hell? Do you know that Jesus is coming back again? You better come out here and confess your sin. And the person is crying and he's here confessing his sin. He is not born again. He was just a remorseful person. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel, I keep saying, does not produce power. It is the power of God. That's what I'm saying. It's not like when you preach the power on that movie. That thing you are preaching is the very power of God. And the gospel is not far-fetched. Everything I've been telling you. Jesus died for our sins and rose again for our justification. That's the message. For therein in verse 17 is the righteousness of God revealed from faith. So how do you know that someone is preaching the gospel? The message must reveal the righteousness of God that starts with faith and ends with faith. Are you getting my? Put up like an altar of this verse. See, this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. That's the gospel. That is what carries the power to change men. It's the gospel. It's not true. So that is what will save the sinner. And can I take it a step further? Even after you are saved, that is still what you need to keep hearing. It will say things like, well, this message is for young, upcoming believers. You know, there are two extremes. Both of them are totally wrong. One extreme says this grace message. You know, it's a grace message. Amazing is, I came to this conference. This is my first time of mentioning grace. Do you not observe it? People think preaching is a grace. We are just having grace. Grace to kill your enemy. Say we are grace preachers. And what people think is that grace message is for young people. You know, yeah, you may encourage, even if you're sin, God is not angry with you. Just encourage them. It looks like a bait. Just be coming. Come to the Holy of Holies. Just be coming. Once you come and I say, hey, see, let me tell you how it is. That's what people think this grace message is. Then the other extreme, you must have met this once. Believe that this message is for mature people. Have you ever preached the gospel and they say this thing is for people that are strong? It's just, what makes you think you are strong? Why do they always classify yourself among the strong people? Who are you thinking people are not serious? It's for strong people. So we preach salvation by faith, eternal salvation. Some will say, once you are saved, God has saved you, he's able to keep you. Somebody now called us and said, see, this message is for strong meat. If people hear it, then my guy misbehave. He said, the guy told me, say, like for me, I can handle it. But this one is what I said, see, you are the baby. You are a baby. There's no other baby. You are that baby, Christian. You are Nepios. You are Suchikos. You are that baby, Christian. I'm looking for you. You know what people normally think? This message is what gets you saved. This message is what sustains you through your Christian walk. We don't preach Christ to the unbeliever and now preach works to the believer. No, it looks like scam. You come to the crusade and you announce, no matter who you are, just come. Jesus died on the cross for you. Even if you're a sinner, whoever you are, his arms are wide open to accept you. And people are on the altar receiving Jesus. And then when they're not receiving, I tell them, well, now that he has accepted you. See, let me tell you, to remain accepted. No, a God that accepted me when I was I get the point. When I was everything bad, to now remain accepted, and I have to work out my salvation. And it's just English that does not let you to see that it is not work for your salvation. It is to work out. And in case the English is too hard for you, let me use NLT to simplify it for you. Philippians 2 verse 12. Let me just so you see, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Look at it. Philippians 2 verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's King James, right? Now put up NLT. Work hard to do what? To show the results of you are not working to earn it or to keep it. You are showing the results. And even that walking, the next verse now says, for it is God that works in you. So even that walking to show the results, it is God working in you, both to do and to will of his good pleasure. So why are you fighting? So this is the message that gets young believers saved. This is the message for the youngest believer. I got here by that same message. By that same message. Some of you don't know that before some of us discovered the truth of the gospel, that we're already quitting. Because I'm a very sincere person. I believe I am. I don't like lying. I don't like deceiving myself. Because this thing was not working. I had a message that told us that I should be the host. I was in hell. That Pastor Bimbo Duka, I was in hell. Because she was wearing trousers. People are not serious. Now, I didn't know Bimbo Dukaya much, but I knew Idahosa. So I told the person, I said, if Archbishop is in hell, then there is no way I will make heaven. I didn't know the truth then, but you are not looking like it's a lie. You will not make it. Give up. You can never make it. Do you know Archbishop? You know, there was a guy that, one of these guys that said they repented from the occultic world. He said, they were begging their master Satan one certain time to please beg God to take Idahosa. That God just collect him and go. That he's too much. And he will go to hell. You must go to hell. Like, take it from me. You can't make him. Where do you want to go to? This is by faith. So, but when I heard all those messages, I told God, is either I'm lying to myself, or you are lying to me, or we are both lying. So one person must tell himself the truth. Because I knew it was not working. I used to tell you guys this story. And I asked the question in my fellowship that day. I said, what is the qualification for making heaven? I've told the truth before, right? I said, what is the qualification? And they stood up and said, it is righteousness and holiness. I said, wait. Who is righteous and who is holy? Because nobody can tell me that I have not sinned. And they stood up and said, that's why when you sin, you confess your sins. I said, wait, one last question. I said, is making heaven by luck? Because it was looking like luck to me. I gave them an illustration. I steal 10 naira. I've been a believer all the while, doing well. And I stole 10 naira. As I was now planning to confess, rapture will now take place. I will now go to hell. Now, this other brother has been moving from place to place, committing sin. And then a second to rapture, you now said, Father, forgive me in Jesus' name. You now go to heaven. See, there's no point. There is so much uncertainty in this. I can't commit my whole life to such uncertainty. Let me become a sinner, live my life. Don't you think it's wise? You think I don't have sense? We are either going or we are not. We are either sure or we are not sure. Let's choose one. And the master of and say, that's why we need the grace of God. I say, you see the problem. You see the problem. And I went and started studying, and I saw that none of the apostles ever sounded like they were not sure of going to heaven. Check throughout the, not one. John, after seeing the vision of Revelation, in the last chapter, he said, come, Lord Jesus. He was begging Jesus, come now. There was nothing like, hey, am I sure I'm going to make it? Make what? Hallelujah. Now, what am I trying to say? The gospel reveals the righteousness of God by faith, from faith to faith. Now, you're asking, well, so I now say we should go ahead and sin. But that's not what I said. Should I told you this thing yesterday? Should I say it again? If I say that this phone is waterproof, do you know what it means that the phone is waterproof? Now, I am saying that if it enters water, it will not spoil. Now, what I did not say is that you should go and live in the swimming pool. It's not like, oh, I have a waterproof phone, so anytime I want to sleep, I'll just go to the swimming pool and throw it in, since it's waterproof. No! That's why 1 John 2 verse 1 said, my little children, the purpose of this message is that you do not sin. The purpose of this plan is that this will not enter water. But if by chance it enters water, there is guarantee. If anyone does sin, by chance, That's the message of the gospel. So it's not when you get saved by God's grace and his mercy. You now come. Jude 24 said unto him that is able to keep you from falling. So God is the keeper. He is the saver and the keeper. That's why he's called the author and the finisher of our faith. He cannot author your faith and you want to finish it. He starts it, he completes it. What I'm trying to tell you is that, like I was saying yesterday, live your Christian life from a point of rest. That's how you can even do ministry effectively. Some of us are burning out for the gospel, giving all our life. You think I'm doing it and I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Check out my phone. Haven't you realized that all the men of God you know, before they died, think of all the people that died in last decade, no matter what they preached. Ralph Bonnke, Kenneth Hagin, what are their names? Rabbi Zacharias, Maurice Cerullo. None of them will ever tell you, we hope we make it. Did you observe it? They will always tell you that they're going, they know. I'm telling you, none of them will ever tell you. Go and read some of their posts. He said, we will see the other side. A man of God once said, if you ever get to heaven and you did not see me, you have gone to hell. It's conviction. And it's found in the word of God. Jesus did not give us such a weak salvation. I don't even know, this is my message. I've left my message read. But Jesus did not give us such a weak salvation that we can just make a mistake and throw it away. You have to calm down. That is the message of the gospel. So you are serving God with confidence. You are serving God with joy. You are serving God. You are not planning to make mistakes. Oh, but even when you make mistakes, you don't sit down there rolling on the floor. You get up and continue, knowing that Father has not rejected you. And that is the message of the gospel. So therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now that's the message that saves the sinner. That's the message that keeps the believer. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. It talks about the fact that the message you preach is not true. The same thing you preach to the sinner. He said, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Verse 27. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is this mystery? Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now verse 28. Whom we preach. So what is the message you preach? Okay, let me see if you get it. What do you preach to the unbeliever? Christ the Savior. What do you preach to the believer? Christ in you. So the difference is that when a believer, first one is saved, they are preaching, receive Jesus. When you now receive Jesus, you now begin to tell him about the Christ that is in him. That's what I do every Sunday here. To show you that by that Christ in you, you can raise the dead. By that Christ in you, you should not be living anyhow. By that Christ in you, you can rise above your addiction and your habits. You know, I told you something. Living right is not about, it's not about going to heaven or going to hell. Living right is about knowing that there's a new status we have. I gave an example yesterday. When someone is made the president, they begin to give you orientation. See, you're now the president. What it means is you cannot just hit that road and then open your clothes and start easing yourself. Or when you become the first lady, they then expect you to do at ease on the road and start easing yourself just at the middle of the road. Now, why are they telling you all of those things? They're not teaching you what to do to become president. Do you get the point? They are talking to you because you are already president. They are teaching you how to live as a president. When you see conduct in the Bible, it's not telling us how to remain saved. It's telling us how to live now that we are saved. Are you still here this morning? So why do I insist that you must dress well? Why do I insist that you don't talk anyhow? Why do I caution you when you misbehave? You know me now. See, because you are preaching here, let me catch you. Why do I insist? Why do you come late and I want to eat you up? It's not because I wanted to make heaven. It's because you are misrepresenting your new level. I get the point. You are misrepresenting who you are now. So it's not because you sinned that I will stop preaching Christ to you and I'll start preaching condemnation. No. When you sin, what do? I refer to 1 Corinthians. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? I refer you to who you are. Who was Paul telling, know ye not? What did they do wrong?
A man was sleeping with his father's wife. No. I say this every day in church, but let me make this more interactive. A man, like a Jephunneh, his father has two wives. A Jephunneh went, maybe because the second wife is fine, and carried the second. A Jephunneh is a worker in church, and carried the second wife and was flexing her all over the place. And they even sew uniform. They even sew uniform and come to church. Because Paul told them, you guys are even puffed up about it. And Paul was angry. He said, discipline that immoral brother. Then he now said, know ye not. Imagine me coming to a Jephunneh with his father's wife. And then I said, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? That's heresy. What I should tell him is, wait, Obia, this boy. What I should have told him is, stop this so that the Holy Ghost can come back into you. It's not true. Because cast me not the way from your presence, O Lord. Take not. David could say that. It's a taboo for you to say that. He said, the spirit I will give you will remain in you forever. The Holy Ghost is a gift. And the Bible said the gifts and calling of God is irrevocable. Irrevocable. And so, instead of Paul telling them, God has taken the Holy Spirit, God said, he now said, don't you know? So, how did he call them back to order? Remembrance. Identity. So, what do I do in church every Sunday? I insist, this is how you must live. Not because you want to become something, because you announce something. And for many of you, it has made you better. For many of you, your conduct has become better. When I know people here, I know some of you, some were addicted before they came here. Some were struggling before they came here. By exposing them to this Christ in you, it has changed a lot of things about them. When Paul was leaving Ephesus, he met some guys. The bishops, the elders he has raised in that church. And he gave them an instruction. Acts 20 verse 32. I commend you to God. And word of his grace. Even the bishops, he gave them to this same word of his grace. What did he say about the word of his grace? Which is able to build you up. So what builds you up and gives you spine as a Christian is the message you are hearing. What how am I sending you home from this meeting? What you are hearing will form you. So I want to ask you, what are you hearing? Will you come around today and hear all the things that God has done for you in Christ, when you are rejoicing and you are dancing, you are happy that you are saved. And then you walk to some other place where they are telling you, see my dear, forget all those. And some people are just so confused. They respond to anything. You should have yes and no in your life. You are not the promises of God that is yea and amen. You should have yes and no. There are things that should come to you. Say no. Every message is not for you. Every book is not for you. Every church is not for you. Every conference is not for you. What they are exposing you to will either make you strong or make you weak. If it is not the message of the gospel, it's not good enough for me. That's why you go to church and you come back more condemned than you were before you left. Do I have a witness? You go to church, you're coming back, you're wondering whether this thing, what this Christianity thing, will it even work? But do you realize that even when you come here, it's the same thing that saying there that we're telling you here. The same way they will say, don't fornicate. We will still say, don't fornicate. The only difference is the premise you are speaking from. I didn't get the point. Some will say, don't fornicate. If you fornicate, God will leave you. He will reject you. Another person will speak from the point of identity that this is now your new status. Therefore, Christian conduct is always therefore. It's always because of this. Therefore, hallelujah. There are two ways to get your child to wash plates. Most parents employ the first one. If I come back and you have not washed this plate, we will know between both of us who owns this house. You see, the child may not even wash that plate until he hears the horn. He will jump up. That's how many of you are living your Christian life. You are trying to achieve. You are trying to do something. Because heaven is real and hell is real. And if you don't, let me tell you, 99% cannot take you to heaven. Because even there is a spot in your garments. And that is how many people are living that Christian life. You are just trying to avoid spots. You are trying to avoid spots. You are dodging bullets. Yeah, that's how you live your Christian life. And then after the whole dodge, you still come to church and say, you know, we are like fish in the water. You cannot say that water has not touched. After the whole bullet you dodge, you are still like fish inside water. And that's how many people are living their Christian life. But then, another person wants the child to wash plate. You know that it's something like, you know, imagine your mom keeps telling, I know your mom is not like that, I'm just saying. Mom keeps telling you, Junior, you know I love you. You know, listen, come. You know, mommy loves you. Mommy wants you to always wash plates because mommy loves you. And don't worry, when I'm coming back, I'm going to buy ice cream for you. You see, the child is doing the same thing the other child is doing, but this time he's responding to love. The other one is responding to threats. That's what God is doing for us in Christ. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you now begin to live right. Not so that he will not leave you, but because he will not leave you. Don't live all your Christian life doing, don't leave me, don't leave me. That's not what we come to do in Christ. Hallelujah. That's not what we're doing in Christ. Every day, don't leave. Take no doubt, don't leave me. No. He will not leave. Just relax and serve God. So you're living in sin. It's time to walk out of it. Why? That is not who I am. I told the guys yesterday of when they invited me for a party in my school days. So I come for a party. And I told them I'm not coming. And one of the guys sarcastically said, you know, go like go party now. Because if Trump is sana and I hear fire, they go direct. They fear her. So I laughed. I said, you know the problem, eh? If I come to that party and trumpets sound inside that party, all of you will be there. I will leave you guys and go. So he now said, so if you are so sure of what you are saying, why would you come for the party? I said, because it is not me. You get the point? It's not my level. It's identity. I'm not going to be serving. If I come to party, what is party? It's not to be dancing. That I'll not even dance. Nothing's going to happen, but there are some places I don't want to be seen. Because this is a brand new person now. That Henry has died. I don't get the point. It's a new person. So it's not about trying to make something. It's about living out who I am now. Hallelujah. Praise God. What am I saying? This is the message you must expose yourself to. It's the same message. I'll show you like 3 more scriptures and we close. I've been blessed. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Colossians 2 verse 8. Mandele boshina lia gramate koza. He said, beware. Let's use NLT. Because these are 3 charges I'm going to give you and leave this place. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual parts of this world rather than from Christ. Verse 9. For Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ. So any man that preaches a message that makes you feel like you're not complete in Christ, it is HSN, high sounding nonsense. Do you get the point? You are complete in Christ. Don't let anyone capture you with high sounding nonsense. Talk. He said, because actually the fullness of the God that dwelleth in Christ, and you are complete in Christ, who is the head of all principalities and powers. Let's go all the way down to verse 11. With NLT, we're going to be very fast. So, when you came to Christ, see the message. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed the spiritual circumcision. The cutting away of who has sinful nature here? They don't exist anywhere. So, God of the old man. Old man has been killed. That's what the Bible is saying. Do you understand? Okay, verse 12, let's run. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him you were raised to new life. Because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins. And because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. For he forgave. This is the message. Let nobody preach high sounding nonsense to you. He cancelled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So, don't let any man condemn you for what you eat. You see where how we got here? Or for what you drink, or for not celebrating some holidays or new moon ceremonies or Sabbath. Okay, for these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. Christ himself is that reality. Verse 18. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial. Deny yourself. Or the worship of angels, saying they have had visions about these things. Visions about why you should not wear trousers, why you should not wear earring, why you should not wear necklace, why you should not use makeup, why you are going to go to hell, why there are only two people in heaven in the Holy Nugu state. And when I heard that, that was very funny. That in the Holy Nugu there are only five people qualified. Only five. Now, think about it. At least I know I'm one. I know some other persons that are there. Like you see them now. So is it that all of us are one? Are that counting church by church? Even if it is church by church, we are still more than five. Anyway, their sinful minds have made them proud. And they are not connected to Christ. You know, Sister Margaret, also, I'm calling her name because she said it. Sister Margaret that saw a vision about heaven and hell came out on YouTube recently to denounce that vision, that she saw it, that she didn't see anything. Have you seen the video? I look for it. Nonsense. And that's why you remove your earring, you see? They are not connected to Christ, the head of the body. He holds the whole body together with his joints and ligaments and the glutes. Why is this always against women? Always. Another one came around our place and talked about football. How many of you heard that? How watching football is demonic. How football itself is a god. And so we should not watch football again. Now, it's not like I'm a football fan. It's not like I watch. I'm just saying. I'm speaking up for you. It's not like. Praise God. But don't listen to those things. Verse 20 goes by time. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of this world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion. Do you get the point? They look very gang-gang. And pious self-denial and severe bodily discipline. But they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. That's why you cry on the altar today. You go back, you do the same thing. The answer is in a person. The answer is in Christ. Keep hearing that same message. It will make you strong. I know what I'm talking about. So I commend you to God and the word of his grace. As you leave this meeting, I charge you to expose yourself to that message and preach the same thing. Paul tells us in Romans 1, verse 1, he said, Paul, separated unto the gospel of God. You are not just called to listen to that message. You are called to preach it. What I heard in my spirit when I was preparing this teaching, the Lord said, charge them to litter the atmosphere with the gospel. Litter the atmosphere with this message. Don't be packaged about it. Don't be civil about it. Litter everywhere with the message. Litter everywhere. Acts 4, verse 19. Verse 19 and 20. Because of our time, let me just close here. Acts 4, 19 and 20. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God. Judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things we have seen and the things we have heard. Sorry. Acts 18 from verse 1. Okay. Sorry. Leave that. Leave that. Because of our time. Acts 18 from verse 1 is about where Paul met Aquila and Priscilla in his workplace. That tells you this message is not restricted to a church. Whether you are at work, whether you are in school, whether you are on Facebook, litter everywhere. This is a message that will save the sinner and keep the saint. So I charge you to do the work of an evangelist. Carry this message everywhere. You are not too small, neither are you too big. Even if you are just getting born again now, you notice you don't have to be all spirit to look all spiritual. What I preach here for dressing for people that know me is one word. What is it? Decency, or what I call moderacy. Dress well, cover yourself, but don't have to look all in a particular way. No, you know, it's even better you're not looking that pastorish so that I can listen to you. All I am saying is litter everywhere with this message. He met them in their place of work. He preached. He met Lydia at the beach. He preached everywhere. So take this message and run with it. What Christ has done. In Acts 5 verse 27, this is the testimony I want to hear from where you are. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. I want you to get back to your place. And they will say, you have filled a bony state with your gospel. Get back to the place. Let them say, we thought we said you should not preach that you guys are heretic. Now, you are filled everywhere with this gospel. I told you, we came to suffocate this town with the gospel. We warned you, but now you're filled everywhere. Litter everywhere. To the saved, we preach Jesus that will save them. Oh, sorry, to the unsaved, rather. To the saved, we teach them about Christ that lives in them. We reassure them of the salvation they have in Christ. Can't you see that many people are saved, but they don't even know they're saved? Many are saved. There is no assurance of salvation. There is no joy. There is no result. There is no fruit of redemption in them. They are still working hard to end what they have earned. We take this message to them and reassure them. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason. They were looking for Paul then. And setting burden unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down, they have come here also. So they were referred to as men that turned the world upside down. They were not fighting jihad. You know the thing about Christianity? We step into a no man land with no gun, with no sword. We are just talking that pursue you with gun. Because what you are carrying, you know how Muslims fight for their God is with a sword. We just talk. We just tell a story that a certain man went to the cross and died and rose again, and by him you are righteous. They start pursuing you everywhere. So why were they men that turned the world upside down? They were just talking. Turn your workplace upside down. Turn your school upside down. Turn your compound upside down. Turn your city upside down with this gospel. Such that later it will be said that in those days, in the city of Ephesus, in the city of Enugu, in the city of Oka, in the city of Obolo, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Listen to me. You are not too small. Here, I train you guys and I insist on it. Everybody can preach. Get the point? Everybody. It doesn't matter if I get this point again today. Everybody. It doesn't matter whether you don't feel spiritual. I don't even feel so. I don't even feel like a pastor. Sometimes I used to wonder if I'm a pastor. I don't feel so. Forget the feeling. And I was telling my spiritual father, tell a story, and I was just laughing. He said, growing up, he said, nobody ever, he goes to big meetings,
You must have heard me tell this story before about myself. I heard him tell it about himself too. He goes to big meetings. Nobody has ever called him out. All these are laying. Sometimes they are laying house. Hence, they get to his head. They pass him. And it happened to me too. But you don't need anybody to confirm God's call upon your life. You get the point? You don't need anybody to tell you if it happens, it's okay. But whether somebody said, thus says the Lord, or not thus says the Lord, you have to know, that you have received a ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. To take this gospel everywhere. So lead everybody with the gospel. What you have heard. The same thing that I've shared with you in this meeting. The same. Commit to faithful men. The same. You might not use the same terms I use. This is a Christian conference. I was using Old Testament. You can use simple terms. You might not use the same terms. You might not use all the Passover and living bread. Because you might just confuse. You can just use simple terms. That Christ died. That are simple scriptures. John 3:16. God so loved the world. He gave them. That's alone can impart the saved and the sinner. God loved the world. He gave his only. That whosoever believed in him should not perish. So the saint is seeing that he did not say whosoever did this and did that and did that. Whosoever believed. John 6, verse 38, 39, and 40. He said, I've come down from heaven to do, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the will of him that sent me. That's all who believe in his son. All who believe in him will never perish. I will raise them up at the last day. And this is the Father's will you have sent me. Look at it. This is the Father's will. Go to verse 40. Verse 40. Let's read together. And this is the will of him that sent me. That everyone, Emeka, Ngozi, Amaka, Chisom, Alhaj, Musa, because I am seeing in the spirit that in this town and in so many towns, all these shoemakers, Hausa shoemakers, will begin to respond to the gospel. All this outside, it will happen. Everyone, it will happen. All those Hausa shoemakers, all those guys that came, and everyone, you know, I've been hearing things like that they came, they're coming to the east gradually to plan another jihad. Before they plan the jihad, they're open again. But I'm telling you the truth. Everyone that sees the son and believes on him may have everlasting life. I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus has a responsibility. Take this message to everywhere. No retreat, no surrender. Take it to everywhere. Run with it. Run with it everywhere. Run with it. That's how I'm going to say it from this meeting. Run with it. We have received a message. This is the message. It's not one of the messages. It is the message. Though this is the message that we have heard of him. That God is light in him. There is no other message. This is the message. So I'm going to lead you as you leave this meeting. Two things. Make a commitment to hear only the gospel. Listen to only the gospel. Read only books that teach only the gospel. And not high sounding nonsense. Second thing, I'm charging you to carry this same message to everywhere. Until our cities are lighted with the truth of this gospel. You get the point? Everywhere. Stand if you talk in other tongues. We're going to close now. Mantelebo roto kanyash. The purpose of light is so that we can spread it. The reason we have light so that we can shine it. No man lights a candle and puts it under a bushel. And don't do that. You have the light now. You spread the light. Take some time. Let's talk in the Holy Ghost. That ministerial passion, that ministerial fire, that ministerial drive, as you begin to pray in tongues, it will engulf your being. You might not even fall. It's not about falling or anything. You just begin to burn. Jeremiah said, thy word is shut up in my bones as fire.
Some of you have never thought of preaching the gospel or thought of ministering to people. This is your thing. You are not called to be an instrumentalist. You are called to preach the gospel. You are not called to be an instrumentalist. You are not called to be a keyboardist. You are not called to be someone that can. You are called to preach the gospel. So while you are doing what you are doing, you are still committing yourself. Make a fresh commitment to spreading the light and to committing to the gospel. Some of you, you've been exposing yourself to this gospel, but suddenly you stopped. Try listening to the things you wanted to listen to. Make a fresh commitment.
Information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.